The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the synopsis of Left Out, Blind Voters, printed in the NNO by the AP on June 15th. If you want the full article, I will give that website information. There is a survey on accessibility of glucose monitors going out. There's another survey on BVI motives to be active. And the Worlds of Books meeting will be August 18th. The Novel Ideas meeting will be August 21st. The Michigan State University Resource Center is providing free Braille displays for incoming freshmen. Cool Blind Tech has an article on the Inside One device, which is awesome. And if I get a chance, there is a nice little bio from Guide Dogs of America on Laurel Hilbert. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. Left out, BVI voters fear loss of privacy with shift to voting by mail, by Christina A. Cassidy for the AP. Not that long ago, Ann Byington had to squeeze into a voting booth with a Republican poll watcher on one side and a Democrat on the other, reading her voting choices out loud so her ballot could be marked for her and the selections verified. Blind since birth, Byington welcomed the rise in recent years of electronic voting machines equipped with technology that empowered her and others with disabilities to cast their ballots privately and independently. But now, as election officials plan a major vote-by-mail expansion amid fears of voting in person during the coronavirus pandemic, Byington worries she is being left out. When the presidential primary in Kansas was held entirely by mail last month, the 72-year-old Topeka resident had to tell her husband how she wanted to vote so he could fill out the ballot for her. "I'm back to where we started," Byington said. "I've lost all my freedom to be independent, to make sure it's marked how I want it to be marked." In recent weeks, advocates for the blind have filed legal actions in Michigan, New York, and Pennsylvania, seeking access to systems already in place to deliver ballots electronically to military and overseas voters. Blind voters could then use their own computers and assistive technology to read and complete their ballots themselves. Skipping down a few paragraphs, disability advocates said they have been calling on election officials for years to provide secure electronic absentee ballots, but only a small number of states have done so. An estimated 7 million adults in the U.S. have a visual disability, and advocates worry that some might choose to skip voting altogether this year, rather than risk catching the virus or having their ballot privacy compromised. Skipping again, much of the concern surrounding electronic ballots centers on how they are returned. In some cases, these ballots must be printed by the voter and returned by mail or in person to a local election office. But elsewhere, these ballots can be returned by email or fax, and in a small number of cases, via an online web portal to an election office for printing and counting. In a memo to election officials, four federal agencies, including the FBI, assessed the risk of sending ballots electronically to be low, but found allowing such ballots to be returned electronically was a high risk. Skipping again, earlier this year in West Virginia, lawmakers expanded electronic ballot delivery to voters with a physical disability. Secretary of State Mac Warner advocated for the law, saying it was important to ensure no voter is disenfranchised. "There are security concerns, but the likelihood of that happening is rather remote," he said, "and it gets to a risk-reward benefit. The reward is getting people who wouldn't otherwise be able to vote." The website is eedition.newsobserver.com, and the front page of the extra supplement for Monday, June 15th, 2020. A survey for blind and low vision adults with diabetes. We want your experience using your glucose monitor. If you are blind or low vision, reside in the United States, and are at least 18 years of age, we invite you to participate in this survey designed to gather data about the accessibility of glucose monitors by the blind and low vision population. Please complete this survey no later than June 30, 2020. I might be too late with this one. The National Federation of the Blind will use the information from this survey to develop policy recommendations to improve the accessibility of future glucose monitors, as well as other home-use medical devices. This survey should take approximately 15 minutes, and all information will remain anonymous. If you complete this survey, you will be entered into a drawing in which five individuals win a $100 Visa gift card. To complete the survey, go to http://sgiz.mobi/s3/AMMS. Thank you for taking the time to help us better understand the accessibility of glucose monitors. Signed, Stacy Dubnow, J.D., Project Manager, 200 East Wells Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Call 410-659-9314, extension 2442. Email sdubnow@nfb.org. And another survey. Name of study, motivation to be active among adults with visual impairments. Greetings. We are conducting a study examining the relationship between motivational theory constructs and physical activity among individuals with visual impairments. To conduct this study, we need the participation of adult-aged individuals, aged 18 and older, with visual impairments. This study will ask participants to complete an online survey consisting of 45 questions, which should take approximately 20 minutes. All responses will be anonymous and confidential. To be eligible for this study, the participants must be legally blind, over 18, have access and ability to complete an online survey. Those who complete the online survey will have the option to enter a drawing for one of four $25 gift cards. This study consists of an online survey which includes 45 questions and should take you about 20 minutes to complete. All of your responses will be anonymous and confidential. To begin the study, please go to https://umich.qualtrics.com/jfe/form/capital-S-capital-V_6V-D-Y-P-E-7Y-R-G1-M-X-R-J. If you have any questions before, during, or after the study, feel free to contact the research team at 757-683-5338 or by email at jhagela@odu.edu. That's J-H-A-E-G-E-L-E at Old Dominion University. Or tnkirk@umich.edu. That's T-N-K-I-R-K at universityofmichigan.edu. Thank you in advance for your participation in our research. Warmest regards, Justin Hagela and Nicole Kirk. Signed, Lou Ann Blake, J.D., Deputy Executive Director, Blindness Initiatives, 200 East Wells Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Call 410-659-9314, extension 2221. Email lblake@nfb.org. Worlds of Books Discussion Group meets the third Tuesday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern. Worlds of Books will skip July and meet at 9 p.m. Eastern on August 18, 2020, to discuss the Book of Lost Friends, DB 98888, by Lisa Wingate. The NLS annotation follows. The Book of Lost Friends, DB 98888. Wingate, Lisa Jones Sullivan. Reading time, 15 hours, 8 minutes. Read by Robin Miles. Historical fiction, bestsellers. 1867, three women, Hanny, who has been freed from enslavement, plantation heiress, Lavinia, and Lavinia's Creole half-sister, Juno Jane, travel to Texas in search of family and fortune. In 1987, the results of their quest reverberate in Augustine, Louisiana, where Benedetta teaches in a poor rural school. Unrated, commercial audiobook, bestseller 2020. You can find the book on Bookshare at the following website. https://www.bookshare.org/browse/book/32764544 query return path equals capital L, 3, capital N, capital I, capital Y, capital X, capital J, small j, A, capital D, 9, TB, 2, capital R, 1, B, capital G, capital V, capital O, capital Y, capital W, 1, capital I, capital P, capital X, capital B, 1, capital Y, MXP, capital Y, small y, capital Z, R, capital Z, capital X, capital I, 3, B, 3, capital J, K, capital P, capital X, capital R, O, capital Z, capital S, capital B, I, B, 2, 9, R, L, capital G, 9, M, L, capital G, X, V, C, 3, capital Q, G, capital Z, N, capital J, P, capital Z, capital W, 5, K, C, W. The bookshelf synopsis of this book is much better than Bard's and is pasted below. Synopsis. From the number one New York Times bestselling author of Before We Were Yours becomes a new historical novel, the dramatic story of three young women searching for family amid the destruction of the post-Civil War South, and of a modern-day teacher who learns of their story and its vital connection to her students' lives. Bestselling author Lisa Wingate brings to life startling stories from actual and Lost and Friends advertisements that appeared in Southern newspapers after the Civil War, as newly freed slaves desperately searched for loved ones who had been sold away. Louisiana, 1875. In the tumultuous era of Reconstruction, three young women set off as unwilling companions on a perilous quest. Hanny, a freed slave, Lavinia, the pampered heir to a now destitute plantation, and Juno Jane, Lavinia's Creole half-sister. Each carries private wounds and powerful secrets as they head for Texas, following roads rife with vigilantes and soldiers still fighting a war lost a decade before. For Lavinia and Juno Jane, the journey is one of stolen inheritance and financial desperation. But for Hanny, torn from her mother and siblings before slavery's end, the pilgrimage west reignites an agonizing question. Could her long-lost family still be out there? Beyond the swamps lie the limitless frontiers of Texas and, improbably, hope. Louisiana, 1987. For first-year teacher Benedetta Silva, a subsidized job at a poor rural school seems like the ticket to canceling her hefty student loan debt, until she lands in a tiny, out-of-step Mississippi River town. Augustine, Louisiana, is suspicious of new ideas and new people, and Benny can scarcely comprehend the lives of her poverty-stricken students. But amid the gnarled live oaks and run-down plantation homes lie the century-old history of three young women, a long-ago journey, and a hidden book that could change everything. About 10 minutes before the meeting time above, execute the below Zoom invitation meeting link on the device of your choice, or dial in with a telephone to one of the provided numbers. All are welcome. Zoom meeting invitation for Worlds of Books is as follows. Worlds of Books discussion group meets third Tuesday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/28620056. iPhone telephone numbers 1-646-876-9923 or 1-408-638-0986. Use the meeting ID 286-200-556. International numbers available from https://zoom.us/u/CNNUJZ1OH. If you execute the above link from a computer with installed Zoom client software, the software should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you execute the above link from a smart device containing the Zoom Cloud Meetings app, the app should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you prefer to use your iPhone as a regular phone without the app to call into the meeting, you can double tap on one of the above two numbers to initiate the call. Podcast feed. Those wishing to subscribe to past Worlds of Books program archives can do so using their mobile device and podcast app of choice, or using their computers and podcatcher program of choice. The link with which to subscribe follows http://accessibleworld.org/taxonomy/term/18/all/feed. Novel Ideas will be skipping the month of July. When we meet in August, we will be discussing the book Zoya by Danielle Steele, DB28025. The synopsis from Bookshare is below. Against the backdrop of the Russian Revolution and World War I Europe, Zoya, a young cousin to the Tsar, flees St. Petersburg to Paris to find safety. Her entire world forever changed. She faces hard times and joins the Ballet Russe in Paris. And then when life is kind to her, Zoya moves on to a new and glittering life in New York. The days of ease are all too brief as the Depression strikes, and she loses everything yet again. It is her career and the man she meets in the course of it which ultimately save her as she rebuilds her life through the war years and beyond. And it is her family that comes to mean everything to her. From the Roaring Twenties to the 1980s, Zoya remains a rare and spirited woman whose legacy will live on. Join us in this Zoom meeting to discuss this great book. Hosted by Randy Shelton. Email rshelton820@gmail.com. Co-host Ruth Ann Acosta. Email ruth1244@gmail.com. Date Friday, August 21, 2020. Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and elsewhere in the world, Saturday, midnight, Greenwich Mean Time. We hope you'll join us to discuss this great book. About 10 minutes before the program, dial the Zoom numbers or execute the Zoom meeting link found on your Zoom invitation. Robert Acosta is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting. Topic, Novel Ideas, meets third Friday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/58414962. iPhone telephone numbers 1408638098611 or 1646-876-99231. Use meeting ID 58414962. The Accessible World, a division of Helping Hands for the Blind, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, seeks to educate the general public, the disabled community, and the professionals who serve them by providing highly relevant information about new products, services, and training opportunities designed specifically to eliminate geographic and access barriers that adversely affect them. Signed, Randy Shelton. From msutoday.msu.edu. Campus, published June 15, 2020. First of its kind effort supports blind students. Contact Michael Hudson. Beginning in the fall 2020 semester, the Michigan State University Resource Center for Persons with Disabilities will provide electronic braille displays to all incoming blind students. MSU is the first university to make this technology broadly available to students at no cost. The transition to online learning during the pandemic has been especially difficult for Braille readers. Previously, these students would work with our office to receive large printouts of Braille on paper for their classes. That isn't practical in an online setting, said Michael Hudson, director of the Resource Center. With the support of our donors, we can now provide accessible Braille through a refreshable display, no matter where a student resides and without the challenges of paper printing and delivery. The portable display features Braille pins that will raise and lower as the user reads the words in a document. It can be powered by a computer or smartphone, as well as accessed wirelessly. The display will be paired with accessible books and other available campus materials. Pursuit of a college degree requires extensive reading, and for people who are blind, that means Braille. This technology will build fluency, speed availability, and grow technical sophistication to assist students in reaching their fullest potential, Hudson added. MSU has a tradition of growing leaders and showcasing that disability need not stop progress. Providing electronic braille displays to enhance academic achievement is another way we help our students succeed. Each display costs about $30,000. The units will be provided to qualifying students at no cost, thanks to the support of Angela Sebald Ability Access Fund, Carlson Accessible Media Program, and Emerging Opportunities Endowment. MSU approached Freedom Scientific about using the Focus Blue family of refreshable Braille displays for issuance to all incoming Braille readers, said Richard Tapping, vice president of Vispero, the company that owns Freedom Scientific, who developed the displays. Refreshable Braille displays are a critical tool for blind students, and the university has shown great initiative and a tremendous commitment to ensuring they're creating successful outcomes for all students. From CoolBlindTech.com, Inside One, a Windows 10 tablet with a built-in Braille display. Inside Vision has created one of the coolest products for people who are blind. The Inside One is a full-size Windows 10 tablet with 32 cells of refreshable Braille located along the bottom of the screen. This device also allows a person to type in Braille on the screen, but there is no longer a need to make sure that your fingers are perfectly aligned to be recognized. There are indentations in the glass, and this is where you place your fingers when typing in Braille. I think this is a much better design than trying to add a Perkins-style physical keyboard in addition to the 32-cell line of refreshable Braille. It also makes it feel more in line with a traditional Windows tablet. You don't need to have Braille input. There is an option for a virtual on-screen keyboard. In addition, you could use a Bluetooth-connected keyboard or a USB-connected keyboard. The tablet still has a touch-sensitive glass screen that responds to Windows 10 gestures. From the developer, description. Inside One is a unique product in the world, combining design, technological performance, and haptic ergonomics, dedicated to visual impairment. Discover new ways to interact through the in.home range of tactile software. A shared approach between the sighted and blind people in a world we all are concerned in. Communication and creation in digital dialogue. Inside One is the first Braille tactile tablet in the world. Disabled people can't remain on the fringes of this changing time for adjustment, and ease of use of this product will transform your world into a deeply personal experience. Laptop becomes a tactile tablet. Advantages: Windows environment, engraved Braille keyboard in the Gorilla Glass, screen with built-in 32-cell Braille display, browsing functions, and tactile routine cursors. Technical specifications: housing in anodized aluminum, Braille keyboard inlaid to the touchscreen, touchscreen Gorilla Glass, display 32-cell, Intel quad-core Z3775, 2 or 4 GHz Intel HD Graphic Generation 7, memory 4 GB of RAM, LPDDR3, ROM 128 GB, supporting micro SD card up to 256 GB, system operating Windows 10 Home 64-bit, display 10-inch one-touch screen, resolution 1920x1200, haptic area 12-inch, buttons physical on-off, high and low volume, ports, micro USB, mini USB, USB 3, mini HDMI, 3.5mm audio jack, two speakers, microphone, cameras integrated front 2MP, integrated back 5MP, battery, lithium ion type 8,000 mAh, usage time up to 8 hours, standby time up to 200 hours, connectivity, Wi-Fi IEEE 802.11, A/B/G/N/, 5 GB, Bluetooth 4.0. Dimensions, weight, 1,380 kilograms. Dimensions, 29.5 by 20.2 by 1.9 centimeters. There is a photo, and it looks kind of cool. From GuideDogsOfAmerica.org, Laurel Hilbert is living the American dream with his guide dog by his side. When Laurel Hilbert, who has been blind since birth, made up his mind that his next step in life was to move to the United States, his friends and family were skeptical. He had no contacts, spoke no English, and had no money. A daunting start to what has turned out to be an extraordinary journey. From walking with a stick to his first guide dog, Hilbert's determination and resolve to get an education and change his life have led him from Syria to Los Angeles to New York to San Francisco and now to Washington, D.C., and from walking with a stick that was often broken by people stepping on it to learning to use a cane in mobility training to receiving his first guide dog from Guide Dogs of America. Since arriving in the U.S. in 2013, Hilbert has gone from being homeless to working on Capitol Hill as a legislative intern for California Senator Dianne Feinstein. Once settled in Los Angeles, Hilbert enrolled in high school and started working with a mobility instructor to help him better navigate his new city. It was this instructor who suggested he consider getting a guide dog and told him about Guide Dogs of America. There was just one hitch. He was afraid of dogs. His instructor convinced Hilbert to at least take a tour of the school. With much resistance, Hilbert finally agreed under the condition that he would not have to interact with any of the dogs. He left having not only petted the dog, but being led with a guide dog instructor next to him by a guide dog in harness. It was exhilarating, but I still wasn't sure about actually having a guide dog, said Hilbert. 3 years and a move to New York City later, Hilbert felt settled enough in his life and work to apply to GDA. With the support of his employer to take the 3 weeks off he needed to spend at GDA, in January 2016 he joined and graduated from the class 396. Sorry about that. 3 weeks of training was intensive and emotional. When the trainer brought Aero to my room, A-E-R-O, I remember feeling a little confused and a little afraid because I still didn't have experience being around dogs, explained Hilbert. The 3 weeks of training was intensive and emotional. There were times it was all going well, and there were other times I felt frustrated and had difficulties. The trainers understood all of my emotions. We would have one-on-one conversations to talk through how I was feeling. They were incredible. After graduation, Hilbert and Aero returned to New York and set about learning how to live and work together. I knew Aero was keeping me safe on the busy Manhattan streets, but I didn't know the extent until I was walking with a friend who started to point out obstacles ahead of Aero and me, said Hilbert. When you use a cane, you have to be 100% alert. There are days where you have barely made it through. It's cold, it's hot, you're distracted, it was a long day, but you have to be focused. With Aero, I still have to be alert, but I know I can count on him. He is an exceptional dog, and I am so grateful to GDA for this amazing gift they've given me. The team had been back in New York for a while when Hilbert decided to make a move back to the West Coast, to San Francisco, to attend college. At first, he worked remotely for the company he had been with in New York, but scheduling conflicts made it difficult to continue. Once again, he found himself in an unstable financial situation and facing homelessness. He had a chance meeting with local politician and longtime advocate for San Francisco's homeless population, who worked with an agency for homeless youth and secured a place for Hilbert to live for up to 2 years. Paying it forward. As a way to pay forward this kindness and hoping to help other youth who, like him, have experienced the insecurity of homelessness and living in shelters, Hilbert founded a nonprofit. Through his organization, Hilbert's mission is to promote the dignity of individuals who are not respected or are humiliated due to homelessness. Hilbert, who always has had political aspirations, turned to his politician friend for help in securing an internship in Washington, D.C. His friend, who now sits on the board of Hilbert's nonprofit, secured several introductions for him. Hilbert wasted no time reaching out and scheduling interviews. His third interview was with the office of Senator Feinstein, and it proved to be the charm. Oh, rats, I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.